Incidentally, if you get a CD, this is the lady that does all the work. And if you ever make CDs, they're a lot of work. They're a lot, especially she edits every one of them, word by word. And of course, she has her program on the computer. She can delete what shouldn't be gone out there. And she labels, makes the own labels and everything. And I carry them to the post office. A lot of work, a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of expense. But we're enjoying life, and we enjoy sending the CDs to those who want them. If you don't want them, you're not going to offend me. If you just please let us know. And if you don't want them, that means we won't have to go to all that trouble making you a CD that you don't want. That's okay, isn't it? Revelation chapter 1, just turn there, and you can quote it probably. I probably could. But it says in plain English, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him. Read it. We've always said that John Revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to Jesus Christ. Not Jesus. Jesus Christ. And I said this last night, and I'll say it again. Jesus wasn't born Jesus Christ. He was born Jesus. And he wasn't the Christ until the scripture said in Acts 10:30 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He said who he was and where he's from. God anointed Jesus Christ. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And it didn't say he spoke in tongues. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, if my brother didn't speak in tongues, I wonder why they said that I had to. You ever wonder about that? Yeah. But see, we had the impression that you wasn't real good until you got the Holy Ghost. And of course, you didn't get the Holy Ghost until you spoke in what they said, tongues. But the emphasis on was the power. If you speak in tongues, you have power. So they Israel will speak in tongues. I don't know how you got the Holy Ghost, and I don't want to take a lot of time here. But I felt like I would never get it because I felt like I wasn't good enough. I mean, I drank booze and I played the honky-tonk music and all that stuff. And then the Lord upheld me. And of course, I quit doing that. But somewhere I had the concept that I wasn't quite good enough. But they said, if you want the Holy Ghost, come down here. Did y'all ever come down here? Mm-hmm. 8 nights. And I had to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they'd get me down here on my back and spit in my face and juggle my tongue and shake my head and rattle my hand. They said, say Jesus. I said, Jesus? They said, oh, no, you got to say Jesus real fast. Y'all didn't go through that. I hope you didn't.
But if you understood it, too.
So I said, Jesus. They said, well, you're supposed to close your eyes when you say it. And you're supposed to raise your hands. And so I'm just a dumb gringo from the cotton fields of Arkansas. I don't know a whole lot of nothing. But they said, raise your hands and close your eyes and say Jesus. y'all didn't do that.
No.
Y'all don't know what y'all miss. So I closed my eyes, raised my hand. I said, Jesus. They said, no, say it fast. I said, Jesus. They said, faster. I said, Jesus. They said, faster. I said, I can't. Really? And I knelt at what they call the altar. Did y'all ever kneel at an altar? What did it look like? A piece of wood. And of course, when you moved uptown church, they had a carpet for you to kneel on, and they had a padded altar. You see, we didn't have no carpet to kneel on. We had a concrete floor. So I knelt, and they pushed me over on my back. They really did literally push me over. They said, now raise your hand and close your eyes and say, Jesus. Well, it felt better laying on my back than just standing up. I mean, funny, but these are things that have helped us to understand other things. I don't begrudge that. I didn't know anything else. I did what they told me to do, and after a while it worked. You know, at least I spoke in tongues. I didn't know what I was saying, but I did something. So the revelation of Jesus Christ was not John's revelation. God gave Jesus Christ a revelation of Jesus Christ, or an unveiling or an uncovering. And we'll go to that board maybe tonight and see some things. It said he sent it and signified it by an angel. Remember? Well, the angel, almost anybody that I talk to will tell you that that angel was the Spirit of Truth. So he come to signify the revelation by a Spirit of Truth. And let me drop this in your thinking. Any revelation you get, if you don't have it signified by the Spirit of Truth, lay it down. I don't care if you get it from here. It don't matter. And I'll go to this in a minute. But he sent it and signified it. But it was an unveiling of the Lord and his Christ. The word, remember we said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That Word that was made flesh, and I don't know what you think about it, but it's my understanding that there's God is Word, because in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God. So if you see Word, this ain't Word, this is a Word. This ain't the Word of God. The Word, we understand that. So the Word was made flesh. Now, if that Word that was made flesh, if that Word was my brother, then I was made flesh from the same Word. A different mission, a different purpose, but the same Word. The Word was made flesh. That's what you are. That's what we are. I'm not Jesus. And everybody said, oh, Ray, say he's Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Thank God I'm not Jesus. I didn't come to do what Jesus did. John 17 says he finished what he come to do. Why do we keep trying to duplicate something that's finished? And you'll get a hold of this in a minute and you're thinking. We are preaching a Pauline gospel, some 13 books that supposedly he wrote. They don't have any proof that he wrote Hebrews. Some says he did. Some, I don't care who wrote it. Doesn't matter. But we've been propagating a church doctrine, and we keep building doctrine on doctrine from the same epistles. And I declare to you emphatically, as far as I'm concerned, the church epistle was written to distinguish Moses from the truth. You can say what you want to. How many know and understand? Anywhere you go, they preach the same thing. They use the same Bible. They interpret it a little bit different. Amen? Really, they do. See? And they say, well, the church. Let me ask you this. How long do you think it takes God to take a people that's called a church and finally get all the wrinkles ironed out of them? This thing's been going on for 2,000 years, and folks, I tell you the truth, I can't see a whole lot different in the church now than I did when I got in 55 years ago. We're still trying to perfect something that there never was anything wrong with. Take it or leave it, I don't care. Yeah. And Leela, she's our sweetheart. She says, I'm not perfect. I said, oh, yes, you are. Yeah. But see, it's a vocabulary that we have been taught by religion. You ain't quite made it yet. You ain't hardly good enough yet. You're not perfect, but God says you are. Now let me ask you, do you really think a perfect God would create anything that's not perfect? And then take that which is not perfect to try to perfect something that's as unperfected as they are. It don't make sense.
No.
I sure like you right now. So we said, well, bless God, Paul said. Yeah, but who did he say it to? Well, Jesus said, yeah, but who did he say it to? Well, every word of God is, yeah, every word of God is true. But you see, this is not the word of God. This is a word about God. Take it or leave it. Don't bother me. You know this is the truth. See? So when I understood it's a revelation, I got to get out of here. But Jesus Christ was the Lord and His Christ. You see, the word Jesus Christ, it literally said, when you use the word Lord Jesus Christ, it literally says the anointed word that is Lord. Whether it's you, whether it's a man called Jesus, thank God for Jesus. It literally means the anointed word that is Lord. So the revelation of Jesus Christ was a revelation of the anointed word that is Lord. You see, the scripture says God made him both Lord and, say it out loud with me, Lord and Christ. Who's the him? The word made flesh. Y'all hear what I'm saying? God made that word flesh and then made that word flesh both Lord and Christ. He wasn't Christ until God anointed him, because the word Christ and the word anointed is the same word. Same word. How many believe you're the anointed? Well, of course you are. How many believe your word made flesh? Of course you do. That makes you the anointed word that is Lord. It's not the Lord, but it makes you Lord. Now I know something that wants to wrestle up here. Yeah. So what I understood, he's my brother. Me and him, got in the hymn called Jesus, we got the same father. I want to ask you a serious question. And I ain't going to go there tonight, but I want to ask you a serious question. Do you really believe that God would tell you not to commit murder and then turn around and do the very thing he told you not to do? Hello, y'all. Did he? Would you really think your father would tell you, don't you go do that, and then he turn around and do it?
Right.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. So you go back and look at the old covenant, and you see God. It's almost like God's mad. Man, he wants to kill everybody. Moses jumped in front and said, "Wait a minute, God, you can't do that." God said, "Get out of my way. I'll just kill a whole bunch." Now, if you read that literally, you take that literally, it looks like God's killing people. You can't take it, Lord. You've got to understand, it's a parable. You can't take that. If you take the book of Genesis literally, you go to chapter 3, you see a naked man, a naked woman, and a talking snake. Lord, you read it. And the naked man, he ain't saying nothing. I don't blame him. If I stand in front of a woman, a snake naked, I wouldn't say nothing either. You ever look at that picture? That man, that dude ain't saying nothing. He's a smart dude. Because he's naked. He's from a naked woman in a talking snake. What do you think he's going to say? But we read that literally. And we said, oh, Adam and Eve. Man, he didn't like her. She didn't like him. It ain't got nothing to do with a man and a woman. Why do we keep trying to make it so? And the Garden of Eden, I ain't going there. I'm going to go back where I started. So, we understand the Lord Jesus Christ is the anointed word made Lord. It is. It really is. Now let's go back and ask, who is the Word? If I want to see the Father, where should I go to find the Father? Come on, talk to me, Sykes. Who's the house of God? Where is the house of God, for Pete's sake? We keep wanting all these dudes with the exalted positions to tell us they want you to come to what they call the house of God. Mm-hmm. And if you don't come to the house of God, mm-hmm. you bad. Mm-hmm. And when you get there, if you don't give them taxes of everything that you earn, you still worse. Mm-hmm. You bad dude. Well, they call it tithe. It's actually tax. Mm-hmm. And if you don't belong to their bunch, you're going to pay tax. Mm-hmm. You can like it or not, but if you don't, you've been there and you know what I'm talking about. Somebody said, don't you believe in tithe? Not the way you think I do. See, a tithe was under a law that you had to do it. When you come to the kingdom of God, it's no longer I. Everything that I am is God. Oh, hear what I'm saying. If you start putting that thing out, if you're still trying to live under a law, saying you're in grace, you create a carnal mind. That's all a carnal mind is somebody that says they're Christ trying to live under Moses. And I don't care what you call it, if you put a law there, it's a law. And it's a mandatory thing that you keep the law. And this thing ain't about keeping the law. This thing is about being the expression of an invisible God. Everything that I am, I am. Oh, it ain't about a tenth. It's about everything I have. It's everything I am. Freely I have received. Freely I give. What I am, I give. I can't put it any plainer than that. You know, and though we were taught, you better pay your tithe. You better tithe, you rascal. And the Church of God, the prophecy, they put a 20% tax on you. Most of them, they put a 10% tax. But you know anything about the Church of God, they put a 20% tax on you. And you know what? They would pay it and starve to death, thinking they were doing God a service. And if they didn't do it, they was going to go somewhere, with going to burn forever. Oh my God, I ain't going to. Go to Hebrews. Hallelujah. I don't mean to get so excited, but I just am. I don't know what I'm screaming and hollering about to y'all. I'm trying to stay calm and cool and collected. Am I doing a pretty good job of it? No? Okay. If I feel this black boot.
Come out as him as you are.
Pardon me?
Come out. Let him come out of you as you are.
Yes, 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 yes.
Let him come out of you as you are.
Yeah, that's all I can do. Hebrews chapter 7. And how many would agree with me that we're confronted with a day that no part of God's creation has ever been confronted with? It's one of the most extraordinary times in the history of God's creation. And we're faced with some of the most extraordinary challenges in God's creation. But out of all those challenges come some of the most extraordinary possibilities that any people has ever seen or heard of. Amen. I'm so thankful to my God that He let me see my day.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Go to Genesis and you see where God said, the scripture says that Adam walked in the cool of the day. That word cool comes from a word that means spirit. Mm-hmm. So Adam walked in the spirit of Adam's day. And I'm telling you here now, this ain't Adam's day. And we're now walking as the spirit of this day. Hear what I'm going to say. We're not walking in the spirit of it. We're walking in as the spirit of this day. We are literally this day of the Lord now being presented to a world that has never seen or knows anything about this day. We read this and read it, and I love it. And I said this last night, and I'll say it again as we go to Hebrews chapter 7. If we will permit truth to pass through us, don't lodge there. Don't get a truth and say, oh my God, I got it. I did that too. And when you do that, the first thing you know, you'll find the scripture to build a doctrine around it. And then you'll start trying to convince everybody that you see this is him. Don't do it. Let truth pass through your land. Let truth begin in the earthly government of your life. And she explained it last night. Let it begin in this lower earthly realm. And let it work its way up into every area, every room of Father's mansion. Let it go into every room, every mansion in Father's house. Until everywhere that truth goes, it will leave the light, the life, the love, and the understanding that it is. Let it pass, because tomorrow there'll be a present day truth. You can't live tomorrow on this day's manna. We did it. We tried it. And we preached for 2,000 years what Paul said, what somebody else said, thinking that was all there was to what God said. And a lot of this, God didn't say it. We might as well face the facts as it is. And we tried to take this and make it do things that it won't do. Maybe I'll share this with you. I had a dear brother in the church that I stayed for 13 or 14 years. Had a heart condition. In bed, I'd go see him. He said, Brother Basil, hand me my Bible. He had a big old Bible. And then he said, hand me my Bible, Brother Basil. And I'd hand him his Bible. He said, now help me on my feet. And I'd help him out of the bed. And he pulled his shoes off, his socks off, and he said, I'm going to stand on the word, Brother Basil. Yeah. And say, I helped teach that.
Yeah.
I helped put that in the man.
Mm-hmm.
He'd get up, and I'd hold him on the Bible. He said, Brother Basil, I'm standing on the word, and God's got to heal me. You know what? I preached his funeral. Now, this is what the scripture said. It said, because they received not a love for the truth. Not scripture. Because they received not a love for the truth, God sent them a strong delusion. You know what the strong delusion was? The King James Bible.
That's the truth.
I tell you, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's not necessary, but it's been the interpretation of it.
Yes. Right.
I love my Bible. But it's not my life. If we let truth pass through us, you'll receive a love for that truth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But you see, I was sitting here on the couch and it kept going through my being, and I want to shout, and I want to cry, I want to jump, all these things that's in me. When that word made flesh, called Jesus, was born, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. This right here. This is where he's buried. This is the swaddling clothes that he's buried in. Because on Christmas, he's still a baby in a manger.
Yeah.
On Easter Sunday, He's in a tomb somewhere, coming out of a tomb. And they'll bring a rabbit or a chicken or an Easter bunny to prove it. Yeah. How stupid can we get? But when he finished his course, they took him to a tomb and rolled a stone over the tomb and buried him. This is where he's always been buried. And this has been the stone that's been rolled over the tomb of the mind, the darkened understanding, that all you can see is either a baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes or somebody in a tomb waiting for a resurrection day.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Let me remind you of something. Mm-hmm. My God, I feel this thing. Let me remind you of something. When the stone was rolled away, there wasn't nothing in there. The linen that they had him wrapped in, mm-hmm. still leather. It's the same thing. Whether he was birthed or whether he was buried, it's all right here. Right here is where the stone has got to be moved. The eyes of my understanding is being enlightened so I may know the hope of his calling.
Yes.
Why should we be afraid to let truth come through our land? I'll tell you why. It'll knock your religious theory all to hell. And I'm going to tell you now, if you're not willing to turn loose friendship, buddies, so-called brethren, family, friends, you might well walk on down the road. Because when truth starts through your land, believe me, they'll leave you like dead fleas on a dog's back. I know what I'm talking about. So you'll make up your mind. Who do I want? What do I really want? Do I want the money, the accolades of the so-called prophets, the so-called bishops, and all these men of war? Or do I want that truth of God that I know I am to come out of the tomb?
Yes.
Let the stone roll away and let the presentation of God be seen in human flesh. That's a cry of my heart. And my brother, we're seeing it.
Amen.
We're seeing it.
Yes.
We're seeing it. He's not buried anymore. The stone's been rolled away. Yeah. And this ain't about some office. This ain't something about how big I am, how little you are, how much I know, and you don't. This ain't in that ball game. This is the life of God that's there in all of us. We find to our amazement. And I said this, and I repeat it. This ain't a thing in the world but the serpent seed. When you read it with a religious mind.
Right.
It is a serpent when you read it with a religious mind. And we've said this. When the scorpion bit them in the wilderness, the serpents, the thing that bit them, brought death. The scorpion that bit them is this right here. But you see, the very thing that bit them, when it was judged and lifted on a pole, when it was uncovered for what it really was, the very thing that bit them would cause them to live. Do you see what I'm saying now? See, getting bit wasn't a bad thing, because getting bit would cause them to find out, why am I bit? And I'm telling you now, I come to a place where you go, I want to know why I have believed some of the things I believed. And you know this, and I know this. We've all been influenced by what we heard somebody say or see somebody do.
That's right.
Amen. I know. Yeah.
That's right.
So when we let truth pass through, it'll uncover. Now let's go. Well, let's stay in Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4 real quick. And then I want to go to Hebrews, and I'm going to put that board up there and show you a picture, and then I'm going to sit down and let my lovely wife Chapter 4, I think. I need some help here. Y'all seen in the Bible where there's ministers of helps? That's what these are. There ain't nothing wrong with my eyes. My arm just got too short. Revelation chapter 4. Well, your Revelation, you'll read chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, it'd be wonderful, but we ain't got time. Chapter 4. Chapter 1, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Y'all remember that? It listens that I was in the Spirit of the Lord's Day. King James messed a lot of things up. It listens that I was in the Spirit of the Lord's Day. And if you want to get real honest with yourself, you are the day of the Lord that the Spirit now shows himself in. Sure it is. But see, when he said I was in the Spirit and he saw things. But before he saw something, he heard something. See, when you get in the Spirit, you hear things. But you've got to get in the Spirit of your day. Oh my God. When you get in the Spirit of your day, you'll hear things this day that no day has ever heard. So why are you trying to validate your day with this day? Don't get angry at me now. Why would you try to validate everything you know about what something here? See what I'm saying? How many would agree with me that you know things in your spirit that you don't know how to say yet?
Exactly.
Yeah. How many say that? Yeah. Yeah. But see, this is your day, and you'll start saying things. I had a brother call me from somewhere, and he was disturbed because he had heard me say, "Get ready to say things that you've never heard, and you can't validate them here." And so he called me. They called, "Hello." He called me, "Brother Brazil, Brother Brazil, Brother Brazil." I'm hearing things. I'm hearing things, and I can't validate the scripture. I said, "Hallelujah!" So you need to understand when truth passes through you, it will eradicate and erase a lot of things you thought was truth. And don't go back and say, "Yeah, but God said." Yeah. It'd be hard for you to prove what God said anyway. Because when you hear what God said, nobody hears but you.
That's right.
And you're going to tell me what God said? If I don't hear what God said, well, maybe God said it, maybe he didn't. No, come on now. I'm not being mean. I'm just having fun. But John said, "I heard a voice behind me." He heard a voice. He said, "I heard a voice behind me." And then he said, "I turned to see the voice that I heard." Read the book. See what happened. When he finally seen what he thought he heard, he died. Read it. He fell as a dead man. My God, I'm having fun. But then there was somebody with a right hand that had 7 stars in the right hand, touched his forehead, rolled the stone away, and he found out that he wasn't dead after all. I mean, it's plain. Am I doing okay? As long as you say I'm okay. Did you ever really read that? He fell as a dead man when he turned to see what he thought he heard. It don't say what he heard. He heard a voice behind him. But he turned to see, and that's exactly where we've been. We heard the voice, and now we're turning to see that we are the voice. Yeah. So, he fell as a dead man. And the man with the seven stars is not just a coincidence, because the seven stars are seven thunders, are seven spirits, are seven seals, are seven churches. It's all seven. And it's all interconnected. Now let me tell you this. It's all right here, sealed in the book that you are. That is sealed backside and front side with seven seals. And she opened those seals last night. It's the prettiest night I've ever seen anybody open, the back and the front. How many believe that you are the book that has been sealed? Of course you are. And believe me, I didn't have this in mind. But I'm here, so I'll get out of it. Let's get out of here. And when I get out, I don't want to stop. If you have a question to ask me, ask it, and I'll, you won't interrupt me at all. Chapter 4. After this, if you read the preceding, it says, the voice said, come up hither. Mm-hmm. Well, how many times can you come up hither? And all that really needs is to change your lower form of government to the government of the kingdom of God that's up here. Come up hither. You ain't going nowhere except up here. Come up hither. Leave that lower beggarly element of religious world out here that has control of your life by the dictating teachings that we bought into. And you said you didn't, but I say you did. But I did, and I know you did. So when he says, come up hither, it just literally means to leave that lower church government order and come up to the order of the kingdom of God. That's where he's made you to sit in the heavenly places. I sure do like this. Then he said, after this I looked. And there's a whole lot took place in those first three chapters. We talked about overcoming. It ain't got nothing to do with something. It's to come over. To come over. Because the whole book of Revelation is about you. It ain't about demons and beasts and mark. It's about you. It's a revelation of you. It's a revelation of who you are and where you are and where you've been and what you are and where you will be. I can't say it any better than that. It's got nothing to do with something's going to happen. Oh God, I've heard 49 different, I've heard 4,900 different interpretations of the book of Revelation. It's the book of the mark of the beast. Oh, it's the book of the Antichrist. Oh, it is, but it's all you. I mean, know what Antichrist is. Oh, I know what I was taught. Oh, when the Antichrist going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to do great wonders. You know, all you got to do is read 2 Thessalonians and look what it says. The man of sin. Who do you think the man of sin is? Let me ask you, who do you think produced the man of sin? This right here. Paul made it plain. He said, I was without sin until the law came. Now let's get serious here a minute. But when the law came, sin revived, and by it it slew me. Who slew Paul? The law that said he was a sinner. Hello here. I'm going to tell you something, and I've said this for 40 years, I guess. I never was a sinner. Saved by grace, the way the church taught me. I never was lost and undone without my God. It's a bunch of stuff. Old governor of Louisiana made a fortune. I was lost and undone without God and his son. I've never been lost and undone without God because I've always been the son. Yes. I'm not preaching to you. You know, if I get in your face, I'm
liking it.
I've never been a sinner. Saved by grace. The way they taught me, I was. Now, if you read some scripture, that'll make you believe that. But that's the lie that God sent us because we wouldn't receive a love for the truth. You don't have to believe that. If you don't, I don't believe it. I know that to be the truth in my heart, in my life. For me, that's my heart. Since we're there, let's look at something else. When was the Lamb of God slain?
Before the foundation of the world.
So what happened when they said somebody died on an old rugged cross? You're getting serious with me now. Let's go back. You mean God would tell me not to kill? And then he'd take his own son and put him on the cross? You think about this. I'm not saying there's not a crucifixion. I'm just saying it never has been the way they told me it was. Because if you're going to stay all together with a literal crucifixion, then you've got to deal with a literal resurrection, and there ain't no such thing. Resurrection got nothing to do with coming out of a hole in the ground. Resurrection is being raised from the dead in here.
I am. That's right.
Awake thou that sleepest. Sleep and death is the same word. And arise from the dead. That's resurrection. And Christ shall give you light. Didn't it say Jesus shall give you light? It said Christ, the anointing that you are, will bring back your remembrance who you are. How many can believe you've always been a son of God? How many can believe that when he said, let thou be light in Genesis, that you was the light that would appear hundreds of years later down here? Let thou be light. You are the light of the world. Let thou be light. You are the light of the world. It wasn't something that he just happened for that day. When he said, let thou be light, and that's the first thing that God said, let thou be light. And all of a sudden here comes light, hundreds and thousands of years on down the road. You're the light. You're the light of the world. You don't believe that. Because religion has got your mind tangled up that, well, he created light there, but we're not that light. Oh, yes, we are. How many lights are they? How many times did God create light? You talk to me, church. But see, the word light is incorporated with life. Love. Light. Energy. Love. That's who we are. That's what we are. Wrapped up in the flesh body. Again, simple. I'm going to go home tomorrow so y'all can't shoot me.
We might not let you go.
Okay. How many can say, the stone's been rolled away. I'm no longer where I laid. This is the stone that's been rolled over the tomb of the mind that had blocked the understanding. And it came through different forms, but it's all had its own religious roots. And that stone, for some people, has been a problem to move. See, there's always a messenger called an angel will come at your time. And all of a sudden, without any effort on your own, all of a sudden, zip. Oh my God, where have I been? We can save the blind man. I don't know all this, know about it. All I know, I was blind, and now I see. Oh God, I was blind, but now I see. I don't know all the ins and outs of how it's going to take place. All I know, I was blind, but now I see. This keeps coming back to me, so let me bring your attention. And it's about time that I quit. So I've said this because I heard this in my being. And you heard it last night, just kind of ignore it if you want to. When I said our perception creates our belief system. Let me say it again. Our perception creates our belief system. What I see right here creates what I believe about what I see. And how many would be honest and say, oh my God, I've seen so many things that I now see wasn't the truth. But it created a belief. And you begin to practice that belief. Some of you have been through all have been through a religious system. But it was a perception that we had. But it was a picture that somebody else painted. And what they did, they had an image. And go to Revelation chapter 13 and you will see that image that was created. And they sit around and talked about it and talked about it and talked about it and talked until the first thing you know, you see that image that was in Revelation created calling fire down from heaven. Doing all kinds of strange things. Wasn't a thing in the world but an image. An image has been created in our mind. And we've talked about that thing and talked it and propagated it and gave to it and paid into it until we really begin to believe what we thought we seen was reality. It wasn't a thing in the world but an image that created right there. And then here come the messenger. Oh my God, here come, thank God. Thank God for the angel that rolled the stone away. So our perception creates our belief system. And what we believe, we bring it into practical reality and try to make it work by doing all kinds of good things. And how many knows it didn't work? We'd go to our meetings and they'd sing until you dropped. And they'd have the music program just right. That organist knew just exactly what key to make it sound, ooh. And the first thing you know, they had you crying in your mirror. I sat there and cried like a baby. And I thought, what in the world am I crying about? I'm honest now. They move my emotions. They move my emotions and they know exactly how to do it. Don't tell me I've not been there. Every so-called preacher that's out there knows exactly what to say and how to say it and when to say it to move your emotions. He'll never move your spirit.
No, right. That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
He don't have to. If he controls your emotion, he controls you.
That's right.
And churches, but I did the same thing in country music. I did the same thing in country music. You let an old boy sit there and get about 3 beers under his belt, and he's got problems at home. I'd sing him a tear-jerking song, and the first thing you know, but you see, by doing that, I'd get him to come down the aisle and pay his tithes. If he didn't, I didn't eat. Huh? It sounds funny, but this is real. Yeah. I knew exactly what to say. I watched the crowd. I played the audience. Don't you throw a stone at me, but that's exactly what takes place. They know how to play that crowd. Oh, of course they do. I don't care what he calls. If he calls himself Kingdom Pentecost, it don't matter what he calls himself. He knows how to play the crowd. And he plays it pretty well. It's like your brother said, some of them not so poor nowadays.
A lot of taxpayers.
They say, but you see, they know how to put you under a guilt, a burden. You know, a burden of guilt to make you feel like you're a dog if you don't. Stone's been rolled away. Stone's been rolled away. Somebody said, don't you feel bad when you do? I said, no. No. See, I'm not limited to a tenth. Everything I am, I give. It don't matter if it's my oldest son, and I say this with pride, and I don't mean the puffing up, but I mean I'm so proud of the fact that my oldest son gave us that new van back in December. It's got 2,000 miles away now. But he gave me 5 of them. He makes a lot of money, but money don't make him. It don't mean nothing. Hear what I'm saying, saints of God? When truth comes to your land, doctor don't mean a hill of beans. It don't care if you ever hear another preacher, it don't matter. And it don't matter if you ever preach again. You damn know that you are the life of God in expression, in visible form. That's all that really matters. We're going to go to Revelation 4. Where do we stop it? We ever get to 4? After this. If I don't get out of 4, let's go to chapter 5 real quick. And he said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals, 7 thunders, 7 stars on the man's hand. 7 stars on a man's hand literally means a completed ministry that nothing can withstand. Think about it. And when it touched him in the forehead, it moved the stone that made him think that he was dead. Really? So the book now has got 7 seals. And he said, proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? Oh, and he said, and I saw a strong angel. And I know you know this, but I'll remind you, the word angel literally means a messenger with a word. Or sometimes it just means a word. And sometimes it's just a messenger that is the word. There's a lot of ways it means. But it's not a winged creature flying through the. And he heard a strong angel. He must have been a powerful dude. He must have known how to preach hell hot, heaven beautiful, and you're going to go there one day. Mm. I mean, he was a strong man. He had a message. But he said, he proclaimed a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? Now see, if you was worthy, you wouldn't be there listening to him. You don't get it yet. You will. Did you ever sit down and really try to figure out, why do I go to a place called church? They made you feel like you wasn't worthy if you didn't come. You see, if you wasn't worthy and you didn't come, they didn't eat. I don't care who you, I tell everybody, and I've been a preacher all my life. A preacher is the laziest man in the world. If he's living off of a church, he's the laziest. My papa called him Peckerwoods. You know what a peckerwood is? He sits up around pecks on the top of a tree and eats dead stuff.
Yeah, dead stuff. Yeah.
How'd we get here? y'all hardly do this, aren't you? Let's go. And here was his message. It was worth opening the book. And he says, and he says, to loose the seals thereof. Open the book and loose the seals. 2 phases. But you don't open the book until you loose the seals. And there's 7 of them. And there are 7 what some people call chakras in the body. Physically, medically, they're called glands. How many knows that this is the house of God? And it's a book that's sealed. And it is the 7 glands of this physical body. Remember he said, out of your belly shall, and we're covering some ground we did last night, but out of your belly shall flow what?
Rivers
of living water. Why doesn't it work? Why do you care of physical infirmities if you've got rivers in your belly? Did you ever ask yourself these questions? I'll tell you why. Because there's been a blockage. The glands have not been open. The seals hasn't been broken because the seal represents the glands in the body, in the physical body. The book has been sealed. And so when those glands is balanced, the energy that you are will flow from this lower earthly government of your life up unto the crown or the throne of your head. How many members of Oral Roberts when he was the first man I ever heard say, be healed from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head? I don't know if Brother Roberts knew what he was saying or not. I didn't until just recently, but it brought to my mind what I heard him say years ago, be healed, and it's not just physically, it means to be restored to your natural form. from the soles of your feet, and the feet represents the understanding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So have your understanding restored, and let me tell you, when your understanding is restored, what's the energy that you are? Flow from the bottom all the way to the top. And one by one, the glands will come into functioning like they, and she talked about this last night, a lot of women is bothered with the thyroid. It's a part of the throat. Did you know that's one of the seals that's in the book? And when that seal is broken, that thyroid will function like it's supposed to function, and you'll watch your weight come back to its normal restoration to what it's supposed to be?
Yes.
Can you believe this?
Yes. Yes.
And I... Y'all gonna stay all night?
I am.
Let's go open the book. I'm hurrying and I'm going back. I'm going to Hebrews. I'm going to get there. I just took the long way around. It's been a long rabbit trail, hasn't it? And no man, and here's the key, no man in heaven or that order, nor in earth that order, neither under the earth that order. Three dimensions. And neither one of them can open the book. Neither one of them can open the book. Neither one of them can break the seals. It said there, was able to open the book. Mm-hmm. Now look at the rest of it. Neither to look therein. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. If the ministry of bygone days could have opened that book and looked in it, they would have polluted it. Mm-hmm. By their teachings. Mm-hmm. But this thing has been so well preserved, mm-hmm, for this day, for this age, for this people, that all of yesterday's religion has never been able, they talked about it, and they made that book something that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. All the time, the book that they were trying to open was inside their own house. But God would never allow it. Because if any of that ministry could have opened that book and looked therein, it would have so exalted that ministry until the first thing you know, we'd have another television preacher holler, come to my meeting and be made whole. God ain't gonna let a man touch this. And I know that and you know that. I don't care what he calls himself, it don't matter. Then he said, don't cry. Don't cry. Then he said, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He got specific who it was and was where it was from. The lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed. And we covered this last night. And I'll try to hurry. The tribe of Judah is the worshiping tribe. We know that. So we've gone to our meetings and we've clapped our hands and we've danced in the spirit and we've sang our lullabies and oh how I love Jesus, and we went through the whole nine yards. We did that because somebody instructed us to do it. Because when you go into that building, that ordinance is playing just right. He gets your emotions set for the big explosion. Now I'm not being cruel here. I'm preaching from experience. I've been there. I know this and you know this. But see, the lion of the tribe of Judah didn't open the book. You're not going to do this thing by dancing to your tunes and singing your lullabies. I don't care who it is. Most of our gospel singers have become religious performers. They're trying to prove they got a talent. And thank God for the talent, but that don't open the book. Let me tell you what it does. And you know this. The scripture said, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Is that what it says?
Yes.
That's worship. That's true worship. That's true worship. Anything else is praise. And I'm not saying that. But we have to know that don't open the book. that will excite you and encourage you and bless you, but it won't break one seal in your book. Because you'll go to that meeting and do all these things and leave exactly like you come. With the same physical pain, the same buried hurt, the same offended emotion. And they're all there. If you'll be honest, you know they're there. And some of them you carried from grandpa's days. I want to say this. Some of the things that you hear coming through here was spoken eons ago. And you just now got on the frequency of the wavelength to pick up what was being said. Now, if you use that for a positive sense, you're going to hear things that Father said to you before you left Father's house to come here.
Hallelujah.
Will you hear what I'm saying now?
Yes.
Can you hear this now?
Yes.
Tune into the frequency, yes, and you'll hear Father. You'll hear the discussion that you and Father had, and He'll remind you why He sent you here.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So don't think it's a bad thing you hear voices.
Listen, boy.
It may take you a while to tune into the right frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I know.
But yeah, listen to
it. I may believe that you and Father made a covenant before you left Father's house.
Yes.
My son said, "Dad, I volunteered." I said, "Speak for yourself. I don't know if I did or not." But you come here on a divine mission.
Yes.
And you didn't come here to get tangled up in having some title or some name or calling yourself anything except who you are. I am. If I asked you the question, "Who are you?" what would you say? You know, I am. What is your father's name?
I am.
What's your name?
I am.
Of course it is. Why do we have a problem with that? I know a lot of people do. Oh, you're saying you got... No, I'm not. He said I was, but I ain't saying that.
Right.
I'm saying me and Father is one.
Yes, we are.
That's what my brother said. Why can't I say it?
That's right.
I mean, let's just get down to earth here for a minute.
That's right.
And see, my brother finished what Father sent him to here to finish. He said he did. Go read John 17. Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Now I want my glory back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I ain't ready to say that yet. Because I haven't finished what the Father sent me here to finish. But I'll show you this one thing. When I do finish it, I'll lay it down.
Mm-hmm.
I've got power to pick it up. I've got power to lay it down. You don't believe that, but it's the truth. You've got the power to pick it up. Why can't you have the power to lay it down? It's all at your discretion. You're here as Father representative.
Yes.
Why would you think that's so strange? And she said it last night, and I'll repeat it now. If you don't like the world you live in, change it.
Right.
Somebody said, "Oh, God going, you're going to have a long way if you're waiting for God to do it. That's why He sent you here." Oh, Father's going to do it. Yeah. Who's Father? Where is He? You see, we tried to pass the buck to somebody up there while we stayed down here. And I'll be honest, I ain't ever preached like this, so don't think it's strange. You ready? Y'all ready? I'll go to Hebrews and read them real quick. But I'm going to finish what the lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed, but he didn't open the book. Who did? The lamb. The lamb. The meekness and the humility that lives in the house of God will take the strength of the lion and open you up and let the rivers of life that's in you flow from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head. And as it does, it'll restore you back to your natural being. Who God intended you to be.
Hallelujah.
From day one.
Yes.
I can't get much plainer. I don't know what else to say. I was going to go to Hebrews 7, but I ain't. I ain't. My father. I need help now. I want to.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Oh God, my father. My father. And I don't know if I've ever done this or not. And I don't know how to do what I want to do. And I don't want to impersonate nobody. But you, all of us that's here, we may not have the same understanding about some things, but there's one thing that we all know who we are.
That's right.
We know. We, the I am that I am, we know we're the children, the offspring of light. Mm-hmm. We know that. I don't know any more than you know. I might have stirred up your mind about some things. I hope I have. Mm-hmm. But this is what I sense in my being. I don't want you to leave here carrying the weight of hurt that I sense in my belly. That is in your belly. Some has been there a long time. And some of your physical infirmity is caused by a hurt that you haven't been able to turn it loose and let it go. And I believe with all my being, I have every right in the world to stand here and tell you, eat my flesh, drink my blood, and take the life that's in it. And then declare to you, all is well. Yes. And no matter what it is. I used to wonder how a widow woman, well, she wasn't a widow woman, she was married, but her old man was in the field. A man came to their house, and they had no son, no children. He said, what do you want? The request was, we want a son. Okay, you have a son. You know the story. I just went on down the road. And it wasn't, we don't know how many years, we know that the son was old enough to work in the field with his dad. And he got a headache. And I'm not going to stay there about that headache. But you read between the lines. As long as you stay in the fields of labor, you'll have headaches. And I'm talking about what I'm talking about.
It's time to go.
So he come back and they put him up in the prophet's room. He died. Took him up in the prophet's chamber and put him in the bed. She told nobody, said, you will get me a mule. And I'm saying this for a reason. She got on that mule and that old boy was driving. She said, you, don't you stop until I tell you to stop. Finally, the prophet's servant come and met them and asked the question, what's wrong? He said, you know what her answer was? All is well.
All is well.
Now listen to me. The son that had been given by promise, by a divine word, by a divine order, had just died. And she could say, all is well. You ever wonder why she could say, all is well? Because she knew the moment she seen the word that had created the son, didn't matter what condition the son was, the same word that brought him into existence was the same word that would raise him from dead. All is well. And there's some of you that has had some things to die in you that it's time to be raised. I ain't never said this. I don't ever remember doing this in my life. And I may never do it again, but I'm doing it now. And I'm not doing it trying to promote ministry. I'm telling you, there's a life flowing in this group here tonight that you can come from the depths of your belly, and they don't care how long it's been dead. It doesn't matter how long it's been a problem. It don't matter how long you've carried that thing. You can declare all is well because you know there's a word now at hand that's going to raise that thing from the dead and restore it back to its natural position. We've seen this happen to her son today, her youngest son. We never preached to him. They come to our house Christmas or New Year's and spend a week with us. We never one time preached to them, tried to convince them anything. We just was who we were. That's been 2 months ago. Today he got a phone call. Mom, all is well. All is well. All is well. All is well. So, I quit by telling you this. The seal that's being broken is the organs of this body coming back in to function into a balance. If you believe this, this will happen now. And you all know this. Our physical conditions primarily is caused by a belief system. If the church didn't build it, the medical profession did.
That's right.
And almost anything you buy now, you buy from advertising, right. Not quality. Because you've seen somebody say something on TV.
That's true.
And then at the end, they'll take the side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you now, there's a lot of side effects to your religion. There's a lot of side effects that's now being dealt with. But you see, what we're taking now has no side effects. The only side effects is now it's restoring everything that the other crowd messed up. That's the only side effect that you can look for, is the restoration of what's been messed up. My God, that would make a black man shout hallelujah, wouldn't it? Yeah. Come here, now you would say something? Yonsi? I was going to use the board, but, and it's not that I couldn't, but in my spirit, it's done. It's done. There'll be another time, another day, and then I probably won't even need the board. This is my lovely princess. She tells me every day that she loves me.